The only way I know to describe what we're going to talk about today is basically it's about motivation. You know, that's what the video was about. It was about motivation. It was about whether we are motivated and what would motivate us to talk to somebody about Jesus. It doesn't go into methods. Doesn't talk about, and I don't today want to talk about this is the best way to do it, or in this situation you need to ask this question and you have this answer and it leads to this question, or you listen to their objections. I'm not worried about all that, okay? Because the reality is this. When we get the motivation right, it's really not that hard. Because all I need to do is tell somebody what I know to be true, what I know about what change has happened in my life, and remember that. And explain the change, talk about where the credit is due for the change, and the rest is, do I then live it out? Have I been living it out before them anyway? We'll talk about all that. I want to talk about the get to or the got to of telling someone about Jesus. I want to look at a couple of passages, and then we'll talk a little bit about some questions like usual. But we're going to start with 1 Corinthians 9. So if you've got your Bible, pull it out. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 through 18. You'll notice that Paul, in his letters, talks a lot about his motivation for why he communicates the gospel. Why does he tell people about Jesus? And there's times, quite frankly, where he is somewhat torn by what his motivation is. It's complex. Not what the motivations are, but within him, just like within us. Sometimes we are torn about how to, why to, when to, all that. I think you'll hear some of that here. He said, "Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach." Now you got to ask the question, who or what is compelling him? Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. Now, did he say either one of those was wrong? What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge and so not make use of any of my rights in preaching it. He just wanted to simplify things. He didn't want to complicate it. But you see a lot there about motivation. You see two things. You see that there was an external motivation. I don't think it was an evangelism linebacker, but there was an external motivation and there was an internal motivation. Okay, both were at work. So we can't say that one is godly and the other is not godly. But I think both of them have some limitations. Let's talk about some of those things as we look at whether evangelism and telling somebody about Jesus is a get-to or a got-to. What are you thinking so far? What do you hear as you look at this passage? What comes across to you? What are you thinking about when you see this passage? Okay, compelled. Now, Stacy saying that word compelled to her would indicate an internal motivation. Okay?
We're commanded to, so we need to.
Okay, so there's the command part.
But fortunately,
yes, yes. You know, whenever you see those words, discharging the trust committed to, That is sort of an outward thing, isn't it? Now, part of our problem in our culture is we don't do a very good job of thinking about stewardship altogether. Okay? We think of something entrusted to us as mine. We don't think of something entrusted to us as being something we have to discharge faithfully. Does that make sense? If you give it to me, it's mine. It doesn't matter if you still pay for it. You give it to me, it's mine. Just talk to your kids for a while. Or your grandkids. Okay? They'll clear that up for you really quick. Okay? Even if you're paying for it, you gave it to me, it's mine. We have to get through that thinking. And it's something that we grown-ups have to get through. Okay? Anything else you see here? Philippians. And I'm going to try to remember where in Philippians. It's pretty close to the beginning. Philippians 1:15 and following. It's not on the screen. It won't be because it just came up when Jason shared it. I kind of knew that I might use this passage, but I didn't plan to for sure. He says, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, internal motivation, right? Knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition." I guess that also is an internal motivation, although not the right one. "Not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice." Now, I'll be honest with you, there's times where I don't like what I think some people's motivations are to preach the gospel. And there are some times where people don't use, their theology doesn't match mine, or they go about being real flashy and ostentatious, which just is not me, and it drives me crazy. Sorry. I can't stand that. So, you know, if you can, that's just the difference between us. But the issue is, regardless, is Christ being preached? Now, they have to be responsible for whether they represent Him well and correctly. That's not my job. Okay? Anything else you want to say there? It's good, Jason. Thank you. All right. The second passage is a tad bit longer. It's in another letter to the Corinthians. You'll find where we are now in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 11. Okay, here's what Paul says there. He says, "Now we know that if the earthly tent that we live in is destroyed..." And what's he talking about when he's talking about that? Earthly tent we live in. Okay, the fleshy stuff, okay? "We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." You know where else in Scripture you hear that same kind of thing talked about? In the New Testament? Yes. And then in Hebrews. The whole discussion of faith in Hebrews is about people who are looking for a country or a nation or a place that was not built with human hands, whose architect and builder is God. "Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." You feel any of that day to day? I just can't stand it. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body in a home with the Lord. I'm sure you feel the same terror some days, okay? I'm tired of putting up with all this stuff. Just take me home. So we make it our goal to please Him whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Okay, and we're going to please Him, right? Okay, He's Dad, right? Every child loves and needs their parents' affirmation and love and acknowledgement. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. You knew it was coming, didn't you? The hook was there. Is that an internal motivation or external motivation? Since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What is that? Internal? It's both. It's both. Okay? The fear is an internal response, but the pressure is that of knowing the character and the holiness of God. What does God expect of us? You know, I'll put it in dusty speak. Okay? Jesus didn't save us to sit on our blessed assurance. Okay? For us to sit here and gather together is a good thing, and He wants us to enjoy that. But the purpose is bigger. The purpose is kingdom. The purpose is that the kingdom would expand. All we have to do is love and talk. Whenever Luke went to Oglethorpe Charter School the first 2 weeks, he was in an absolute funk. And the reason was, there were so many rules, he would never be able to keep them. It just had him freaked out. Because it's like, Dad, there's just this. And finally, I just sat down and said, Luke, just do right. You don't have to worry about the rules if you do the right thing. If you obey your teacher, you follow the rules, you know, you don't even have to follow rules. Just do the right thing and you'll be okay. You know, you're supposed to wear a uniform. You just do the right thing. You don't have to worry about the rest. And guess what? By about the sixth or seventh week of sixth grade, he was cool. He was in the flow. He was fine. Didn't have that burden anymore. And it ought to be the same way with us. We get that the motivations right, and we function out of the things that please God. We don't have to worry about, even though there may be an expectation, we don't have to worry about the fear of what happens if we don't tell somebody about Jesus. Does that make sense? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's look at a few things here. We've talked about internal and external motivations. Okay. And I want to ask you about each of them just a little bit. So let's go to the next screen. So here's the first question. What are some unacceptable external motivations to share Jesus with others? Things that would not be things that would please God, but yet might be an external motivation. Okay, doing it to impress your fellow Christians. There you go. Stephen. Money. Okay. Okay. And there are plenty of them out there. Okay. A condemning attitude. Even though And you veil it in, I'm sharing Christ with them, but what you're really doing is you're saying, I'm better than you in some way. Okay. And unfortunately, there have been a lot of Christians that have come across that way, sometimes meaning, sometimes not meaning that. Okay? Unacceptable external motivations. Yes, yes. It's funny how sometimes we get our humanness mixed up with what it means to obey Jesus. Not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday before. At men's lunch on Wednesday, I get there early because I have a 1 o'clock class at Savannah State, so I'll eat before, I'll hang out for about 15, 20 minutes, and then I go early. So I was there all by myself in the food court at Oglethorpe Mall. And this really nice young couple are sitting over there, and I see them, and you know, they're dressed nicely, and anyway, I guess they saw me bow my head and pray before I ate. Young guy comes over and says, "Hey, do you know anybody that would be interested in seeing the Bible in sign, American Sign Language?" And so what he had his little tablet doohickey thingy, okay? And he said, "Here, look." And he showed me this guy on a video signing the Bible, okay? I thought, well, okay, you know. I said, I don't know anybody that necessarily personally would need that. I know people who have family members or anyway. So he said, okay. And he said, well, let me get my card. He said, I'll give you a card, whatever. Well, he went and got the card, and why I'm telling you the story is this. Whenever I got the card, I'm looking at the bottom. Across the bottom, watchtower.org. And immediately I went, nope. I mean, in my head, I'm thinking, nope, thank you very much, but no, I won't be doing that. Okay? Because it was a under the radar, subtle way to get into. It's like, no, I'm not giving you a platform out of my life or anybody else's. Okay? And unacceptable. The reason why I say that is that in that belief system of Jehovah's Witnesses, there's two things. One, they're obligated to tell other people about their religion because if they don't, they don't have a chance of going to heaven. They have to do it to earn salvation if. And it's kind of like a lottery in a lot of ways. They don't know who's going, who's not going. It's a very odd thing to me. Makes sense to them, doesn't make sense to me. So the motivation, what's that motivation? Is that motivation fear? Is that motivation, it's almost not even obligation. It's, anyway, just, there's a lot wrapped into that. Another unacceptable external motivation to share Jesus, and they're not even sharing Jesus. They're sharing their version of a religion. Anything else you can think of? Okay, let's go to the next question. So what are some acceptable external motivations? And think of external motivations. Acceptable external motivations to share Jesus with others. Okay. All right. You see somebody hurting. The context of pain and suffering. It turns into an internal though, doesn't it? Or it can be coupled with an internal, right? The expectation that we should model for our kids and for others who are believers, what it means to talk to somebody about Jesus, to share. Okay? Desire to be an example.
I think the cash prize, but I think you ought to offer a microwave for bringing somebody to church or something.
No, that would be microwaves are for quick conversions. You get the new oven. You get the new oven for those that you reach over a period of time. And then on the day, you get a tattoo on the day that they make a decision. Okay, carrot on a stick. Okay, carrot on a stick. All right. Get so many gospel points. Is that unacceptable or acceptable? You're removing certain external things. I got you. I got you. Okay, they can motivate externally. I agree. For me, those kind of events tend to fall into methods as opposed to motivations. But I do see how that does motivate people to do and to be a part of what's going on. I agree. Okay. All right. Hopefully, what you're yes, sweetheart. There you go. All right, darling. Yeah. Don began kind of with that. It was that such a long time ago in the conversation. It was just obedience. Yeah, because he said to do it. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Okay. Let's move on then. I kind of see there being to move on to the internal motivators for a second. There being three groups or three motivations as we look at why we share a faith. The first one is the obligation. Okay, we feel and sense an obligation out of what God's done for us. Okay, so this is not obligated as in to be obeyed. I'm going to do it because He's making me, but I feel obligated because of what He's done for me. There's a change in me. There's a new me. My life is different. Because it's different, I have a desire. It is a motivation that comes from within to desire to obey. That makes sense? Yes, the word compelled fits that very well. Okay. The second is the fear. Okay. It is internal. Now, the reality is, should you and I fear God about this? I think it goes to respect when it goes to the second thing that was mentioned. In that it is more about awe. So the reality is there's two parts of fear. We could look at it that way, right? Okay. One is more appealing than the other, right? Out of reverence and awe and respect and worship, that motivation of a holy God desiring that we do this is a better fear motivation than God's going to swap me, right? But the reality is sometimes we need to remember that there's grace, there's mercy, but there is an edge too, because he's our dad. And you look at Hebrews again and you see that he talks about He disciplines us as sons because He loves us. And that there are times when if we keep saying no, 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 then He will discipline us to remind us that He loves us and that we can't keep saying no, no, no and be in the right place at the right time. Third motivation. The best of all, right? Love. Now, whenever we were talking about the motivation being seeing someone who is in need or is suffering or is in pain, and we talk about compassion for them, I think that comes out of love. And some of us, my hand raised, struggle with knowing how to express that or getting to that or working from that compassion or how to communicate it. That's just something that I have to struggle with all the time. But the love motivation is the get to. It's the thing that reminds me. It's a get to, not a got to. Anything you want to say about any of those three motivations? I tend to think that people who don't have Jesus really don't want me to be slick and have all the answers. They really want me to be, they want to know that I struggle with the same stuff they do. And they don't mind hearing about my Jesus as long as they understand that I'm not trying a sales pitch on them. They can't stand slick. They can't stand anything that smacks of prepackaged. They just want real. They want real. Okay? And so the problem is that in our heads, whenever we were in the 50s and the 60s and the early part of the 70s, which is in my, it's in my memory banks because I lived through it, okay? There was this thing in church that said you had to be prepackaged and planned and ready and have all the answers and everything, okay? And some of us are having to unlearn that and pretty much forget that. I tell my students at Savannah State all the time, sometimes when you come here, you have to understand that you have to unlearn everything you learned or lots of what you learned in order to get smarter or do the next thing. You have to unlearn before you can learn. And it's a really hard thing. It's a hard thing for me to not feel like, see, I can play this game of that. I don't feel like I'm ready to tell somebody when the truth is I am ready to tell some, because what they need to hear is not what I think I'm supposed to do. That makes sense? They and then they need to see us, because we live in a world now which is much more like a slow cooker in terms of people coming to Jesus than a microwave. Now, yes, we might engage somebody. You know, when Dusty was talking about that on the Engel scale, is that we engage people all along the Engel scale all day long. Some people are 10 steps away from coming to Jesus. Some people are one step away. And the reality is that our responsibility is to help them move to the next step. And that just means be Jesus and be real. I'm going to pose a question to you. I'm not asking for an answer. Why do you think there's a large number of people who really like being in a really big church? I know that you can have a bunch of answers, but I think the reality is, if you look at the culture, there's a couple of places you fall into, and one of them is nobody knows their stuff. Okay, it's all about consuming. It's about being a consumer of religious content. That is not the body. Just my conviction. I understand you can disagree with me. Last slide. Why would you be obligated to share Jesus with other people? I think we've kind of clarified that a little bit as to why we would be obligated. We're obligated by what Jesus has done for us. We're obligated by the fact that God tells us to do it. It's part of who He's made us to be. He saved us to be those who would reach out and help rescue other people. That's why He did it with us. Secondly, what makes fear a reasonable motivation? We've talked about that too. That there are times where there are certain kinds of fear that are appropriate, and there's probably other kinds of fear that wouldn't be as appropriate to motivate us. And last, what is it about love that makes it the most powerful motivation? We really kind of hadn't said that. Let's see if we can hang out there for a minute. What is it about love that makes it the most powerful motivation to share Jesus with other people? Love is most comfortable. By love for one another. Yes. It's a matter of listening to the Holy Spirit at that point in time. Sometimes God's going to tell you to take a step. Sometimes He's going to tell you to pray and wait, just like He does with us all the time. All right. The motivation, my homework for you is be praying this week that God will work on your internal motivation, because that He desires that above everything else, that your internal motivation would be set so that you can be ready to do the simple task of loving people in Jesus' name. And then offering whatever words you need to. Goes back to Augustine. Hear that over and over again in the back of my head. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Okay. Sometimes the best thing we can do is just be nice. Now, God has used that at times in certain places. It's not worked very well for me, but I have seen it be effective with other people. As much as that's not how I'm wired, it doesn't have to, but it wasn't, I didn't have to be packaged or have, it's just simple stuff. You know, this is what we do, and here, you know, is there something, and you just see what God does with it. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, it just goes back to we have to be listening and ready. Our relationship has to be in good maintenance. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Father, thanks for meeting with us today. Thank you for speaking through your word. Thank you for letting us speak your heart that you've placed in us to each other. Lord, let us encourage one another as long as it is called today, that we might be faithful to you, that we might love you more, and that we might let others see, feel, and experience what you've done in our lives. Lord, we ask you to grow your kingdom today, and Lord, we want to be a part of that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.